keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land. Mingle it, nobody, turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Mingle it, nobody, turn me around. Gonna keep on a walking, keep on a talking, marching up to freedom land.
Good morning, heart and soul.
Good morning.
And this is our first Sunday in February, so it's the first Sunday that we are smack dab in Black history, as are my senses that we're always there because Black history is simply history.
Yes.
You know, and in so many ways, the deeper we delve, the more that we understand that it is universal history, the origin of humankind. There are so many links and pathways and connectors in that. For most of at least what I will be sharing this month is in these United States. And that's a plenty. That right there is a plenty indeed. Our Black History video, our slideshow, is really a gift of remembrance of how we got over. And that's important for us to know and remember always. I'm challenged to do that myself. If you're in the building with us early enough, we always begin with a celebration, a praise groove, if you will. We get our praise on to a groove. And so today, and I'm hoping there'll be additional Sundays, it was to John Batiste, Freedom. And that's a song that makes me so happy. I just, the first few notes, and I can feel my jaws, you know what I mean? I can feel my cheeks moving into, and part of the lyric is, when I move like this, I feel like freedom. And there is, I want in my life for there to be more freedom cues for me. You know, when I breathe, when I look up, when I look out, when this happens, when that happens, I'm wanting to have that be a cue for me, that my state of being, if you will, is one of feeling freedom. Now that's aspirational, but I'm up for it. And usually I'm not by myself. This morning I may be. Maybe it's me and the people at home. And we're just going to rock with this idea of what is possible for us. So, on this adventure in faith, part of it for me is, can I just say that isn't this a beautiful cover? Absolute beautiful cover. When I first saw it, because I'm blessed to have written the daily guides, the daily spiritual guides for this month. So when I saw it early, and it took my breath away. When they sent it to me, and I'm like, what is this? It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of sculpture. And very specifically, I want to share with you about it. It's a gaze of unwavering wholeness is what it represents for us. It's called Brick House. And there are variations of this sculpture in other states and other places, but it's by artist Simone Lee. And it depicts a strong Black woman who stands with hope, endurance, and integrity. She holds space, seemingly collapsing time, and is the perfect symbol for our special Black History and 2024 convention issue of the magazine is what the editor is offering us. This issue is... The theme for this issue is divine discomfort. And this is what the editor writes. This Black History Month, we're exploring lessons learned from being uncomfortable and how putting down the need to be comfortable allows space for transformation. We consider the universal pain of exclusion and oppression and open ourselves to the pull of our vision of a world that works for everyone. And so that's a huge part of our focus for this month, is this notion of divine discomfort. And some might say intentional. Discomfort, a willingness to be uncomfortable so that we can truly transform. And if you think about it, when we feel comfortable, we're not inclined to even think about a shift because this is good right here. But when we feel uncomfortable, the question is, what will we do? Will we allow it to intersect with our being as divine discomfort? And have it call forth something else. That's our hope. That's our prayer. So, heart and soul is in the get ready, yes?
Yes.
It's in the get ready. And so, part of what I feel and felt about the writing the guides for this month is, I could say it this way, in preparation for Brannis McKenzie singing in just a moment, that if I had a hammer, and a writer does in a way, a songwriter does, a journalist does, a speaker does, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer out the truth about who we are and whose we are. Brannis McKenzie and Thomas Hughes, If I Had a Hammer.
I'd ringing in the evening all over this land. I'd ring out danger, I'd ring out warning, I'd ring out love between my brothers and my sisters.
Thank you, Brannis McKenzie. I promise you, y'all are gonna hear Thomas play a little bit later. So for Black History this year, Beautification has done a magnificent job. There's a display in the back of the room that, they always, every year, they take my breath away with their creativity and their commitment to history and presenting it in a way that is beneficial and inspiring, and today is no different, only better is what so they have also given me instructions. And so here I am following instructions and glad too. I just need y'all to know that these are instructions that are sent to me specifically. Because some of y'all don't believe that people instruct me. Some of y'all think like I'm in charge. And so I just want you to get a sense of how transitory this all is. As we celebrate Black History Month and acknowledge the outstanding contributions of people of African ancestry to world history, I want to engage our community, heart and soul, in a fun opportunity to tap into your awareness and knowledge about Black history and win prizes. You may recall that last year we did a little something where you could respond to questions about the service, and this year we're going to add that the questions will be about what happens in service, but also the magazine, so the daily guides as well, which are available also for your online subscription. So if you have the copy of the magazine, you know, I'm so old school that just I'm tactile in that way, kinesthetic, you know, to feel it and touch it and highlight it and dog-eared a page and all of that. But some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. And so for you, there's the electronic version of it. But regardless, if you want to participate, and just participate for the fun of participation, and there's the possibility of winning prizes as well. So we'll draw from the guides and also what happens in the Sunday message. And there'll be more information, more specifics to follow. I also want to call your attention, and we wanted to launch it this month. We've been talking about it since the beginning of the year, of having prayer beads, because part of what some of us have been chanting, affirming, that every day and every way, I am, what Emile Cooey says, is I am getting better and better. In just my own life, for affirmations, they're present tense. So I am better and better is my affirmation. You affirm what works for you. So I'm wearing a couple of the prayer beads, and they're offered over here. So there's a selection on the table. They are either $15 or $20, and they're separated in that way. And after service, Valda will be available. For those of you salivating at home, we are looking at how we would do that. You understand what I mean? We're willing, and so it requires a little setup and some shipping and all the things. And when we're selling things online, it's a little more to the letter of the law. Not that there's lawlessness here in person, but we understand that there's some I's to be dotted and T's crossed in a different way. So we're working it out. Let us know, though, if it's worth our while, that we don't want to be here working nothing out for you and you're not interested in it. So do let us know. If you're interested in having some of these beautiful prayer beads, I believe, do we have a slide that can show them? We don't yet, but we will have one. Okay, because they are beautiful. Trust me, well, just know that on this wrist, it's beautiful. Yes. All right. So so those will be available after service, and if you let us know you're interested, we will do our best to work it out so that you too can get in on all of this goodness. Thank you, Brannis McKenzie. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I love the like organic nature of the way that you present that song, just from the heart and soul of it. And it always illumines for me. So what would I hammer out? And I'm clear that I would hammer out awareness, and I would sing out, get ready, that life is unfolding, and that what is essential for us is that we get ready for our specific unfoldment of life. Yeah. So look, some of y'all, I know there's this fantasy that folks want to, that you've made up in your own minds about who I am and how I am. Bottom line, human, spiritual being, human life, got all the stuff. That's how I know. This is not magical that I get up here and I know your business. I know your business because it's my business. That here's the thing, though. Sometimes if you pay attention to somebody who's already fallen in the hole and gotten out, there can be some benefit And you might just want to hear that clearly. So I have the advantage of having fallen in lots of holes. Lots of holes. And I know I'll fall in more. I am getting very adept of getting myself up out of holes. I told you that decades and decades ago, like my freshman year in high school, I took judo. Well, actually for a couple of years or so. But the very first lessons, which I didn't understand at the time, were falling down. I was like, when do we get to... So first they threw you so you'd know what hitting a mat was like, and then you had to replicate that. So in the class, from standing to bam, bam, you would just spin. It felt like, I'm like, when do we get to the good part? But what was essential was the awareness is you're gonna fall a lot because you're going to be thrown a lot. So get good at hitting the mat and getting up. That was the magic of it, was bam and up. I'm trying to tell y'all something, not trying to enroll you in judo. I'm trying to tell y'all something. And even knowing that, so when I was invited to write the guides, I wanted to and I didn't want to. You know, I was raised to serve. I was raised and told that I had certain gifts and abilities and that they were not mine to just decide when and where I would share them and do. That very often in a group, I just feel my mother just do this. And I'm like, no, I don't work. Like she just going up there and you know. It was the opportunity for someone to respond and whatever it was, and I'd be like, oh, leave me alone. You know, you try to scoot over and she would just know. And so I understood that, so I still have that feeling like, well, yes, of course I will, and I don't want to. And so the way that this really was evidenced, I love y'all, and this is clearly a safe space, or I must think it is. Because as I went through the thought of it, so we're on the phone and I have the ask and my mother in me is like, yes, of course I will. And the me in me is like, I don't want to. I'm already writing a column and I don't really want to do that every month. And so, I don't know. And then I kept hearing, but yes, it's mine to do. And so I said, okay, it's only 28 days. And the editor said, well, actually, because this is last year. This is sometime, I know before I went to Bali. So this is, I don't know, spring of last year. I don't remember when, but sometime last year. And she said, no, it'll be 29. I was like, 29? And I remember that part of my response was like I was outraged. Like that 28, like I think I could do 28. And with 29, that's it. No. And my mind, I'm saying this because I want you to be aware of just how wicked your little mind is. When you leave it to its own devices, it will involve you in such foolishness. So I knew at the time, this is ridiculous, but I could not extricate myself from it. I was really stuck, like the difference between 28 and 29, how could you even ask me? Pick a year with just 28. It was so ridiculous, but I was stuck there. Here's when this happens for me. When I know that I'm on the precipice of breakthrough, I recognize how I fight, how I argue for my limitation. And that was, now I don't know that I said any of that aloud. But that would be the least of my concerns. You know, what I'm trained. So what I say aloud is really not the issue. It's all that's going on the inside. All of the laying out on the carpet, kicking and screaming. Now, I don't do that in life, but I do that. And I was doing that 29. Because I knew I would not be the same. And I didn't know how, because how could just writing the guides? I mean, people do that if there's not a month that we don't have the guides. And most people do 30 or 31, I'm just saying. And I'm sure they not, well, I don't know what they do. Let me get out of their Kool-Aid and stay in mine. So Reverend Jack Elliott is truly my brother in ministry. And so I was sharing with him, as I often do and know I can. And Jack was like, we got this. And I'm like, we don't necessarily got this, because I don't really want to do it. But I know I have to do it. So I'm in this thing. So rather than writing, I'm fighting. You know, I don't know how long I spent. And finally, I know Jack had words of encouragement. And I'm a collaborator, so he was like, I'll help you. Will. I was like, okay, so what I'll do is I put a spreadsheet together. And oh, because there was some excitement of it too, because I live there. And I love the idea of sharing this in the way that I would share it.
Me too.
Whew, but then I'd have to actually do it. So I got busy, rather than writing, framing the writing, preparing for the writing. There was no writing going on. There was the spreadsheeting that was happening. There was all the, as much prep as I could possibly muster, putting it in order. And I mean, it was, oh, I had more, I'm trying to remember, I think I had 60 entries. And so now I'm involved in the research, and I love research. And so one thing would lead to another. That's how we got to 60. I got to 60 because I'd start out with this, and it would take me to that. And then that would link to this. And, oh, I knew something about that, and this had to be that. And it was just that. Now, still no writing. Lots of research. Lots of preparation. I can always tell. See, I know me. If y'all are really paying attention, you have a note already about what I'm really saying, is you need to know you so you can catch you in your act. Yes. If you don't know you, you think you're really doing the dang thing. But if you know you, you know you hiding out in the research, you straightening the lines on the spreadsheet, you deciding what ought to be centered and what ought to be wrapped, because that's essential. Ain't one guide been written, but getting the spreadsheet clean is essential. Yes? So my brother and I set up a system where almost every day, when I didn't avoid him, he would ask me about the guide. And that's really how they got written, is that somebody had to ask me, had I moved from setting up the spreadsheet to actually writing something. And I understand now that they're written, and they were written, they had to be in whenever they had to be in, I don't even remember, but a good while ago. Most of the days I cried, and I couldn't imagine the reading of my writing as painful, the pain that I had to traverse, and the understanding, because I was clear I was writing it for the Science of Mind magazine. This wasn't an Essence article. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't writing for Ebony. And so I struggled with my gaze and my voice. And I was determined that I not have a science of mind gaze, that I had an ancestral gaze, that I could share, that I could share. You see, some aspect of my living in this body, in this experience, is a variation on what's called code changing. And it's being acceptable, making oneself as acceptable, as palatable as one can to an audience to whom you're not acceptable or palatable.
Say it, tell it.
And so having lived through that, because that didn't just happen yesterday. I mean, I was born in the 50s. And so it's been an enculturation, you know, kind of a training, a way of being. And it was an opportunity that I had not expected that beckoned me to loose that and to find my pure voice, to weep, and then to go back to it and find it again. And I hadn't realized how long I'd quieted it, how masterfully I edited my authentic voice. Thank you, Jack, for standing with me. Those of you who may not know Jack, he's a white man. My brother is a white man. And so I tested some things. We had a little toe-to-toe from time to time because he has a different view, a different gaze, a different sense, a different life experience. And so there would be those times when we would clash, and I valued that because I got to live through the clash. I don't know if y'all even understand. I don't even know why I'm telling y'all all that, because I got slides that don't say none of that. And I could just as easily... Look, here's what I think I want to do. Valda, bring me my magazine, please. Every day of the month of February in the magazine, here's the way it's constructed, is that there is a quote of my choosing, the very first one intentionally. It's Michael Harriet, who wrote Black AF History. And he said, I beg your pardon?
AF me. I'll tell
you later. Yeah, somebody will tell you. The only difference between a burglar and a settler is who writes the police reports. Because when I wanted to, I needed to set the bar someplace for myself. And so I thought, well, that has to go. Yeah. That did it? Okay, thank you. Because in his book of Black History, you know, he's really clear about somebody's... yeah, for sure. He's really clear about what we have accepted as history, what has passed as history, that has really been creative revisionism. And so he speaks to what we would really call a Columbus. If we didn't know we were talking about Christopher Columbus back then, and we just described what we know he did and how he did it, we would not say... We wouldn't, the descriptors that we use would be very different than those found in the history book, and they'd be honest. We would see him like we'd see the folks on the evening news in handcuffs or manacle chain, whatever it is. We would see him as someone who had perpetrated criminal activity against humanity. And so he is a writer with a crazy sense of humor, so it makes it, anyhow, so we started there. And then on every page, so there's a quote, and then I chose a Ernest Holmes quote too. That was a requirement, is an Ernest Holmes quote. But let me just tell you, Ernie be writing some stuff that's useful for us to just check it out. It's a contextual. Be open to it. Yes? Yes. So can I ask y'all to get the magazine by hook or crook? Just get it. So because my intention is that we're going to rock with it some this month. Okay? All right. So I just want to hit it and quit it for a moment here for today. So for today, which is February 4th, the Ernest Holmes quote is from the Science of Mind textbook, page 271, which that section is entitled Demonstrating the Law. And Ernest Holmes says, I'm just going to give you these quick little excerpts. There is a law of unfoldment in humans which says we can advance only by going from where we are. Now, if you don't know where you are, this is going to be a tricky journey. You see how important it is to get ready? And part of that getting ready is to discern who you are. Who is you for real, for real? You see what I'm saying? Like, just you and you, not what you put on the resume, not what people read on the bio. Although all of that is true. I'm not questioning that. But for real, the one in the mirror, who you be? Because if you don't know that, you're going to be very confused and all up in the spreadsheets and straightening out the lines and evening out the columns and all manner of machinations that have nothing to do with what Spirit has charged you. Yeah? So he says, we can advance only by going from where we are to the place where we'd like to be. And then he says, if day by day we have a greater understanding and a clearer concept, if how often? Daily, we are realizing more of truth and applying it in our actions, then we are on the right path. So I don't even need to read no more, because that's going to keep us busy. But I'm going to read just a little more. And eventually we shall be made free. Come on, John Batiste. I feel like freedom, because that's where I'm headed. Yes? That's where I'm going. I know where I am right now, and I'm trapped in how it used to be. I'm trapped in how I used to feel. I'm trapped in how I used to be, what I used to believe, what I used to think, what I used to entertain. But right now, I feel like freedom. Because that's where I'm headed. That's what I'm wanting to embrace. That's what I'm wanting to experience. That's how I'm choosing to live. Yes. Yes? Every day in every way. He says it is a wonderful experiment and a great adventure. I'm going to add in faith. He says it's a wonderful experiment and a great adventure to make conscious use of the law. To feel that we can plant an idea in mind and see it gradually take form. But what's the order of that? It's not take form and then I work it out. It's that I am honoring the law. I am engaging the law. In honoring it, I am doing what's required of me. I am being and knowing what is required to be and know in order to. Sometimes we mix it up and we get confused that there's some magic happening here, that I can have a worldview that I'm separate. I can have a worldview that, well, you know, I set up a little thing here. Let's see if we can get to it. Oh, Lord. Oh, so many things. Okay, I got to do this. Don't go to the slide, because that will only take me longer. Stay right here. Groundhog Day was February 2nd. And that always takes me to the movie, which is one of my favorites. And it's because it's a metaphor for how we end up in the same. There's a moment where Bill Murray's character says, what if there was no tomorrow? What if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one yesterday. And he's saying that from the vantage point. I told y'all not to put that slide up. Pardon me. Lord. Okie dokie. So look, because this character has been repeating the same day. And it's a movie and it's fun and all that, but it's life. It's life where we literally create the same outcome over and over. Now, sometimes we do this while praying for something else, while meeting with a practitioner about something else. And it's, you can do all of that, but until you change your mind, until you change you, it doesn't shift. And so he rightfully says, what if there is no tomorrow? Because there wasn't one yesterday. Yesterday was exactly like the day before, and that was exactly like the day before that, and it was exactly like the day before that. But what was the same really was him. What he was believing and how he was being. So I wanted to just kind of drop that like a lug, frankly. But look, this notion of the way we intersect, to me, quantum physics, is this notion of the observer. And I'm putting it in the context of the power that we have as observers. Because in the most simplified, which is the only way I can really talk about this, in the most simplified way, it is that whatever it is we are looking at, we're looking through, we're looking from, so that what we don't realize is that our looking always has an expectation. We are expecting to see. And that's the part that we often have no awareness of, that it is that expectation that literally collapses the field of infinite possibility to the possibilities of what you are expecting. That we're not seeing all that's there. We're seeing what we're willing to see. This is how American history is as it is. You see, and I'm just going to borrow from Flip Wilson. You know, when you think about folks discovering people, how you discover what's already there? What you did was you saw them through the lens of your consciousness, which means they can only be what you're willing to see them as. And so that explains so much of our shared history. However, it does not have, it can be our shared history, but it does not have to be our now, our present awareness. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so look, let's try that. Oh, no, we got more weeks to this month. We don't have to try to do it all today. Oh. So look, who am I? This is where we're going now, Gigi. This question of who am I is one of, so how do I perceive myself in the world? Albert Einstein was asked, like, what's the most important consideration question. And he said, let's just stay right here. He said, it's whether we see the universe as a friendly or unfriendly place. We have work to do. We have work to do. This notion here of how do I see myself and how do I see my world, which is entirely up to you. You don't get to default to, well, you get to do what you want to do.
Right.
Do you?
Right.
Just know that if you default to race consciousness, you then get to live that. So it's entirely up to you, and you can choose. You can choose. So look, I'm going to ask you to take consider this a pop quiz. This question of who am I? Number one, this is a quote. I am not so worthy as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. Now this is a quote from, I used to attend a Methodist church, and this was one of our recitations. And I remember this because a particular Sunday, I was practicing science of mind, studying with Terry Cole Whitaker, but I was still attending the church I attended. And this, we were standing and in the recitation, and I just froze because I heard what I was saying. We are not so worthy as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. And I gasped because I heard it. But I left people there. They didn't stop. After I gasped, nobody else said, ooh, maybe we shouldn't say this anymore. They continue to say that. It is still in whatever book it was in at first, and they still turn to it, I'm sure, and they do what they do with it. So is that how you perceive yourself, that could be true? And this is not an aspirational pop quiz. This is not where you answer thinking, well, that can't be the right answer right there. This is a question for you and you, for you to discern, is this something I'm entertaining in some way? This is so that you can see, you need to test where you are. This is like your blood pressure reading. You don't get to pick one. It is what it shows up as, yes? Okay, look. Number two, I am part of the oneness of God. That could be highly aspirational for you. But if it's not what you're presently rocking with, and if you were presently rocking with it, your life would be evidence of that, by the way. Just saying. Number three is a possibility. This is, you're not going to share your answers. It's okay. Number three, who am I? Am I, or we are all sinners in the eyes of God? You know, it just, some of that could be present. And if it is, tell the truth. Because what? You got to start from right here. You can't start on the journey out there in the journey. You start at the starting point. Try your little GPS. You don't just start midway. The thing, it wants to know where you is right now. Where are you starting from? Where are you going? And then it maps that. Yes? All right. Fourth one. And there could be so many, but I thought four is plenty. I am made in the image of God. God is love, so am I. Highly aspirational. See where you are. And I should have left a five just to write it in. So do that. Be creative. Put a five and just write in for yourself what it is, what idea you are being and playing with in this. Oh, Lord. Okay, stay on this slide, but let me just share this, that who I think I am, who any of us thinks we are, is evidenced and then concretized by how we use our imagination, our beliefs, our feelings, our values, our behaving, our behaving, because I've been playing with that a little bit. Our behavior is really our behaving. You understand what I'm saying with this? If not, we'll work it out later. What this combination of imagination, beliefs, and feelings, and values, and our behavior are behaving equals your self-esteem. It's how you see yourself, what you believe to be true about you, your self-worth, your sense of confidence about who and how you are. And it's also, one self-esteem has everything to do with the continuity of your expression. Now, here's my sense that I have observed from folks who have come through any of the anonymous programs. Folks who have come through successfully, the folks who recently, someone was acknowledging that it's been 30 years or 31 years, that is an expression, that's the evidence of the continuity of expression. And what they're sharing with us is there was a time, in a Sankofa kind of way, there was a time when way back there 30 years ago, I was very different. I had a different future even. You know, if I step back beyond that point, that date in time when I made a decision to shift, if I step back behind that, I'm standing at a different point on the continuum of possibilities in my life. But there's a moment when that shifted. And now, 30 years later, I have evidence, I have the continuum of expression, which essentially says, I am a new being from the one back there. I am expressing in a different way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because sometimes the idea, no, it don't matter. Look, only your best self can live your best life. I know that there are a lot of us who have our eye on our best life. It shows up in our prayers, our affirmation, our vision board. Our best friends know there's a best life awaiting us. I came to tell you, you're not going to get that life. Not you. You don't get the best life. Your best self gets your best life. So that's who you're going to have to be. Are you hearing the distinction? You who's unwilling to change, you who's not going to do it different, you who can't be corrected, you who can't see it through a different perspective and perception, you who's going to be right all the dang time, you not having that best life. That's for the vision board. Your best self is the only one who can have the best life. In the song, Young, Gifted, and Black, part of the lyric is, when you're feeling really low, there's a great truth that you should know. When you're young, and we are, this young is not, it's not chronological age. It's the youthfulness of spirit, the malleability of spirit, of your mind and your willingness. Yes, when you're young and you are, when you're gifted and you are, when you're black and you are. Now, it's one of my favorite programs. I just want to clarify this part, because when I'm saying you're black and you are, you may not look like it, you may not mark it on the form. One of my favorite programs is Skip Gates' Finding Your Roots. Thank you. And one of the things I heard him say very recently is, I think it's a 99%, that 99% of African Americans are going to show up with some European in the chart. It's a just is. When you understand that life began on the continent of Africa, and you understand what the melanin required to be on that continent, you begin to understand that this notion of us all being in this together, and I'm not caring whether your DNA shows up with that right now, because we have to go back far enough. This notion of oneness allows me to stand before you right now and say, when you're young, gifted, and black, and everybody to have a sense of that this is about us in the oneness of life.